Perhaps some of you heard this week. You want to turn to Proverbs 23. I'll be reading some there. They said that in the paper that butter is better for you than margarine. Any of you read that?
Heard it a lot of times.
And that confirms God's word. Of course, they didn't have margarine back then. But when I asked the lady that runs the health food store there in Middletown, one of the reasons I asked her the question was she was in her 70s and working long hours every day and getting around good. So I thought, well, she's an example of healthy living. I said, what's the worst thing that you can eat? She said, hydrogenated, it's either hydrogenated or probably pronounced hydrogenated, fat. And margarine contains that in the shortening and a lot of the cooking oils that we use. And if you look on the labels, about half the stuff in the store contains that. She said, that's the worst possible thing. She said, you could set that shortening out on a table for thousands of years and it would never get rancid, never decay, because the bacteria can't live off of it. Of course, she said, that means that the bacteria in our intestine, they can't handle it either, and they can't digest it, and the body doesn't know what to do with it. Well, there's you say, what does that have to do with the Bible? Well, there's some scriptural principles that's involved. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I said one time, and then I talked to her at length, and the general principle that she said was, the best thing you can do is eat food the way God made it, because when He made it, He knows what He's doing it with it. But when man tampers with it, you can't trust man. His knowledge is limited. He may say margarine's the best thing for you for years and years and years, because in his limited knowledge, that's what he believes. And then he does a study, as they did on 80-some thousand nurses, and they said, no, butter is better for you than margarine. Well, the Scripture says that Messiah would eat butter and honey. Isaiah said, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, I know everybody's going to say, well, don't we have to spiritualize that? Well, no, we don't have to. Everybody wants to. It's certainly that you can get some spiritual truth out of that, but you see, it's got to be literally true first before it illustrates anything in a figurative sense. And they actually, in this book that I'm going to talk about, they talk about how one of the ways they treat juvenile delinquents on one ranch was to take away all their junk food. And of course, they also treat the spiritual side and the mental side, but they also realize, hey, God made the physical world. And He made the physical food, and if they're addicted to sweets or caffeine or these various things, that can cause problems in their chemistry and in their bodies and cause them to be angry and irritable. Certainly what you eat can cause that, and so that's part of their treatment, and they've been very successful at that. You know, I've often heard people say, well, everything that tastes good is bad for you. And that's not necessarily true. As the example I just gave, to me, butter and honey doesn't get much better than that. That looks good and tastes good. It's interesting, we talk of golden honey and butter is yellow. Well, those are my favorite colors, and yellow and gold, and they are two of the best foods you can eat. Well, my sister, who's a nurse, I noticed I'd been to Mexico and been away from her for a few weeks, and I got back and saw her. She's a nurse, as I said, and she was looking a lot better, lost weight and looking real healthy, glow about her face. And so she began excitedly to tell me about this book she'd been reading, and several of the things she said. I said, well, I've been trying to tell you that for years. Of course, I said, a prophet is not without honor, you know, saving his own house. own kin and so on. But this book is called What the Bible Says About Healthy Living, written by Rex Russell, a medical doctor. And he himself, one of the interesting things about him, he himself suffered from diabetes and had a lot of health problems. And finally, he said, I'm going to look at the Bible and see what it says. And some people say, well, this is not spiritual enough. You know, a lot of people think, I'm not putting down divine, I believe in divine healing, but I also believe God has a divine prevention plan. And I believe an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And God promised Israel, He didn't just promise, He said, I'm the Lord that healed thee, but He promised when they came out of Egypt, He said, if you'll diligently hearken to all my commandments and all my word, I will put none of the diseases of Egypt upon you. It's great to testify about, and I think we make an awfully lot to testify how God has divinely healed someone, but we also ought to have a testimony. God has kept me, because I've kept His principles and His word, He's kept me from getting sick. I thank God I've never had a major illness, you know, up to this time. And I thank God I've tested a lot of the principles in His word, and I've found them to be true. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, the scripture says. And one place said, than to put confidence in man, even than to put confidence in doctors. Unless those doctors are like this doctor and they're looking to the Word of God for the principles that they teach. Let me give you, so I'll make sure I get to it, the three principles, general principles that he came up with in his study of God's Word. These are the, you might say, the foundational basic principles. Principle one, eat only substances God created for food. Avoid what is not designed for food. And I just mentioned hydrogenated fat as one of those. Principle two, as much as possible, eat foods as they were created. Some people might say, well, why doesn't the Bible have anything to say about a lot of this? Well, like I said, in biblical times, they didn't have, you know, you didn't pick up some food and see words of four and five syllables of all that they had put in it. They didn't have that problem back in those days. As much, principle two, as much as possible, eat foods as they were created before they are changed or converted into something humans think might be better. Now, I mentioned milk and honey, but folks, in Bible times, they didn't have homogenized, pasteurized milk. And more than this doctor and a whole bunch of others are saying a lot of our heart problems and our clogged arteries are because of homogenized milk. Homogenized is a Greek word. It comes from a Greek words, and it means alike throughout. Now, you know, those raised on a farm know that milk, raw milk, the cream settles to the top. Now, in order to keep that from happening, they homogenize it, which means they beat that fat until they break it up so small until the milk is alike throughout. But in that process, what many doctors are saying, they break that fat up so much till it will go through the walls of the intestines into the bloodstream and cause a lot of the clogged arteries and the heart disease that we have. It's interesting, another point in this book is there are nations where they don't have heart disease, they don't have hardening of the arteries and clogged arteries and veins because they're not able to do a lot of the things to the food that we're doing in this country. Matter of fact, I heard a story of one doctor in Africa. He said he could tell, he could diagnose a patient based on what kind of clothes they were wearing when they walked in his office. And he said in Africa, if they came in, for example, he gave an example, they complaining of a pain in their side. Well, if they were dressed in traditional tribal clothes, he knew it wasn't appendicitis because those people eat so much fiber, they never get appendicitis. He knew it wasn't the gallstones, and he said he knew a whole listing because they never get that because of their diet. But he said if they came in Western attire, that meant they probably were eating a Western diet. So then he would start thinking, well, they got a severe pain in their sides, probably appendicitis. So he gave those examples of how he could tell because of what they wore, they were probably eating a certain diet, and therefore he could tell what was wrong with them. So eat it as God made it. In this book, he tells how flour, they take a God-given gift. And, you know, I see a spiritual application of this. Man takes God-given gifts, and he just tears them all to pieces, and by the time he gets through with them, they're not fit to be eaten by man or beast. One of the examples he gives, he said, you know, by the time they get white flour, it takes them 20 steps. They tear that apart and take the most nutritious part out of the grain and bleach it, and grind it, and do all kinds of processes to it. And by the time they get through with it, it's harmful to even eat white bread. That's what he says and he believes. But you know, there's a scripture that says in Psalms, David said, bread was a blessing. He said, bread strengthens man's heart. And one doctor said that whole grain bread has vitamin E, which is good for the heart muscle. So that's literally true. But also, Jesus is the bread of life, and he strengthens man's heart. So God created all these things, all of his creation, to illustrate spiritual truth. Principle number three, avoid food addictions. Don't let any food or drink become your God. Well, there's a scripture that talks about whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things. And certainly the scripture teaches moderation in all things and temperance in everything. As I said, that's a sister I was talking about that told me about this book. I said, I got to have one of those. I've been thinking a book like that needs to be written for a long time. She was a chocoholic, you know, sweet chocolate. She loved to eat candy. And you gotta have self-discipline. God is a God of self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control, temperance. And so you gotta have that. And you'll see this in this chapter. It almost seems like he changes the subject in verse 13 when he says, withhold not correction from a child. But you see, none of this is going to work if you don't have enough self-discipline to apply it, to say no. I thought of another experience that I had when I was just in high school, had cavities in the back of my teeth, and when I drank Coke, it would absolutely kill me as far as a tooth. After that, I'd get a toothache. Well, I decided I'm going to quit drinking Coke. I'd get back in that cavity and work me over. Well, it wasn't until years and years later that I read a doctor's report. And some people say, well, that was the sugar. But no, the doctor's report said Coke and a lot of other pop has phosphoric acid, and it eats the calcium out of your bones. And that's what it was doing, was eating the calcium right out of my teeth. He also said that they had a young child, about 5 years old, who had osteoporosis. Now, that's porous bones. And they were like, that's usually a disease associated with the aged, osteoporosis. But they looked into this child's lifestyle and diet, and they found he drank pop continually, and that phosphoric acid was eating the calcium to the point it was eating holes in his bones. Well, that's part of the dainty meats, that deceitful meats that Proverbs 23 talks about. Let's read a little bit of it. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. Put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, this dainty, deceitful meat is associated with wealthy people. You see, what's deceitful about this meat is it looks great and it even tastes great, but it's been robbed of all its real nutritional value. It's like Jude warned about some people. They're like clouds without any water. In a droughted land, they see a cloud come up and they get all excited. Maybe we're going to have some rain. But sometimes they're just clouds without any water. And a lot of people are like this, you know. They are refined because they've been raised in a civilized home, in a rich home. They've been taught manners and they're refined and they appear proper and mannerly and nice on the outside and courteous, you know. But inside, they're like whited sepulchres. They're full of dead men's bones. They're not really nice people down deep. And so it is with these dainties, this deceitful meat that he warns us against. Eat not thou the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Oftentimes our digestive problems are caused by eating these sweet delicacies. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. I talked about change. Man's always wanting to get a hold of what God's given us, even in this area of food and diet, and say, I can improve that. I can make it better. I can make it taste better. I can make it look better. And he may make it taste better and look better, but you can't improve on what God has, the gifts God has given. The disciples were doing a lot better when they walked through the fields and plucked off the grain and ate it, than what a lot of us are doing by eating food that man has destroyed and tampered with. Verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. And there he starts talking about discipline. You're going to have discipline if any of this is going to work. I see a lot of children, even some of them relatives to me, and they have no discipline. And especially they say, I only eat, and they name one food, and that's all they're going to... Only kind of pizza I eat is cheese pizza. Put any vegetables on it, now they're going to pick it all off. They're not going to eat it. When I was young, 5, 6 years old, I ate what was set in front of me. You know, I either ate oats for... I had two choices. I could either eat oats or I could starve. And as you can tell, I usually ate oats. And as I said, you want a healthy diet? Make you some oats and put some butter in it and honey in it. It doesn't get much better than that. But a lot of times the children have no discipline. And they rather than the parents, of course back then it was a matter of necessity. We didn't have money to buy these dainty meats and so on. Oats was about the cheapest way you could go. And so that's what you ate. Now, the children tell their parents what they will and will not eat and what they will and will not do. Well, a little rod of correction would go a long ways in delivering them from a lot of future sickness. And here he said, you're going to deliver his soul from hell. You're not going to escape hell unless you will receive correction. Every one of us needs correction. You know, that's why this whole argument about are we the way we are because we're born that way. Well, we're all born into sin and we're all born fatally flawed. That's why we need correction. Correction is all about saying, I don't care if you were born selfish and rebellious and mean-spirited, we're going to beat that out of you and correct you. And you must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Then he goes on to say, Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And folks, here's three of the biggest reasons for unhealthiness is overindulgence. Alcohol causes not only cirrhosis of the liver, but several kinds of cancers that he tells about. And addiction to cigarettes causes several different kinds of cancer, as well as breathing problems, emphysema and asthma and so on. Aggravates a lot of problems. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now what do they say? Watch your diet, be temperate, your weight, gluttony, and then exercise, you see. You need a proper amount of exercise. And if your work doesn't give you any exercise, some people work at a computer or whatever and sit at a desk all day, then you better get some otherwise, or you're going to get drowsy. I know I had a job one time just driving a floor scrubber all day long. You know, I got so lazy that I didn't feel like doing anything. You get to where you sit around so much you don't feel like doing anything, and you got to have something to bring you out of that. A lot of times some fasting will help you with that kind of self-discipline. And then he goes on and later in this chapter and says, look not on the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup. Now, you know, Paul, you could say he prescribed medicine one time, but I don't believe it was alcoholic. He told Timothy, a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. And Brother Burkett researched that and said that the Greek historian Pliny said wine for the stomach was thick, syrupy, where you allowed a lot of the liquid to evaporate, a thick, syrupy wine that they used as a medicine in those days. So even the Apostle Paul there, he had some. He was saying this is a God-given gift, wine that cheers the heart of man. I take that as a non-alcoholic. The Scripture talks about, says the new wine in Isaiah, the new wine is in the grape. So it's wine. It's called wine even when it's still in the grape. And didn't that man say about the water that Jesus made in the wine? He said, this is the new wine. See? So if you interpret Scripture with Scripture, it was grape juice. The new wine's in the grape. Jesus didn't make old wine. He made new wine. He starts out, and I'll read a little bit out of the beginning of this book. The hospitals in Vienna, Austria had a problem. New mothers were dying at a rate of 1 in 6. At the time in the mid-1800s, physicians who had just examined the recent dead would enter the wards and examine the expectant mothers without washing their hands. Sadly, these doctors were unknowingly spreading bacteria and disease and death. This tragedy could have been avoided if the physicians of the day had known and followed the principle God had laid down thousands of years earlier in Numbers 19:11, which says, whoever touches the dead body of anyone will be unclean for 7 days. And God offered no explanation of this law. But if these physicians in Vienna had obeyed it, hundreds of lives could have been saved. One Viennese physician, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis, searched for a solution to the problem. He required his staff to wash their hands in a bowl of water before examining any patients on his ward. They didn't scrub their hands with soap, as doctors and nurses do today, but only rinsed them. The death rate in his ward dropped to 1 in 84, from 1 in 6 to 1 in 84. As happens with many who develop new ideas, this good doctor wasn't an immediate hero. Instead, he was fiercely attacked for his claims and faced ridicule and attack from the medical community. They didn't want to bother with washing their hands. Eventually, his battle cost him his practice and his sanity. They drove him insane. They persecuted him. I want to tell you something. Anytime we're persecuted for the word's sake, even if it's a principle of that's simply sanitation, as this was, Satan hates anything, and the world hates anything, that will cause people to have confidence in God and in His Word. He goes on to talk, I'll wrap this up. One of the important things I believe he tells us that we're violating is don't eat any blood. Do you know that everybody said, well, that's the law. Do you know it was given to Moses or to Noah? It was given to Moses, but before that it was given to Noah. Don't eat blood. New Testament, don't eat blood. Well, he researched it and he said the blood has poison in it. It has toxin. It has waste products. And I believe that's the cause. A lot of our meat is not bled properly. And I believe that causes a whole lot of our health problems. Well, we'll get into this book a little more detail. Some of you might be interested enough in getting one of them. There's a lot of important thing that'll build not only your health, but it builds faith in God's Word.
Right.
And it'll cause us to, as I've said before, reason, wisdom is the principal thing, and not miracles, not power, because wisdom will keep you out of so much trouble, you won't even have to have, you won't even have to pray about a lot of troubles, because you'll never see them.
Right.
If you practice God's preventative measures that He gives us. Amen.